Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So good to be with you again this evening, and I have something on the agenda for tomorrow afternoon, and it is called a very long nap. After a very full weekend and getting this fantastic opportunity to be with you tonight, I was really moved, I don't know about you, in worship tonight, and I feel so thankful for our worship team that prepares for us and really leads us into worship. I heard today that Ashley, who's on your left, my right, she only has a few more weeks with us before she starts an internship, and she's really ministered to me in my few weeks here with her just really beautiful voice and vulnerable heart of worship, and I know she will be very missed. Before we start tonight, I want to start out in prayer. So let's just go to the Lord this evening. Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together on this Wednesday evening. God, I know that you have something for each of us tonight, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you open our hearts to your word, to your way, Lord Jesus. God, I call in your convicting spirit of the Holy Ghost into this place, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that we will hear your voice and walk close to you tonight. I pray that in your name. Amen. A few years ago, I was at a conference in Montana. It was one of our college student conferences where students gather from all over the region, and we hold these conferences over the Christmas break. So I was in Montana, and my role for being there is I was speaking at a missions banquet, so it was all students, and then I was also doing a workshop on international student ministry, so how to reach international students on campus. So that's my role in the conference. I get there, we fly into Montana, we rent a car, we drive to this location, and I just had a fantastic, fantastic conference. How many of you just came out of camp meeting? Can I see hands? Okay. I felt like you feel. Don't you just feel energized after a conference? And that's how I felt. The Holy Spirit worked in my life. I had incredible prayer time at the altar personally, and then the students I was working with also just saw God move really strongly in their life. So it was just a really, really wonderful time. So as I was there, but it was getting to the end of the conference, and it was not camp meeting, it was a student conference, so sometimes the evenings would go to like 2 a.m. And so it was the last night of the conference, there had been some kind of a talent show, it was super late, and the conference was over. So I'm already thinking about the next morning, having to fly out, even though it was a wonderful time, I'd kind of transitioned my mind. I get to bed that evening, and I felt like the Lord wasn't done with me yet. Do you guys know Jesus still speaks to us today? We see all the stories in the Bible of the Lord speaking to us and calling out our name. I felt like the Lord still had something for me. So I laid there in this hotel room, and I kept pushing it off because I was tired. And I kept saying, Lord, not now. I just want to go to sleep. It's 2 a.m. And I just kept pushing it, until finally I said yes to the urging and the pushing of Jesus in my life. I said, God, what do you have for me? And right when I said that, I honestly, and some of you know what I mean when I say this, I felt the Holy Spirit enter my room. And it was one of the only times in my entire life that I almost relate this experience to a tent of meetings experience, where the Holy Spirit was so strong in that room, and it was almost as if I was having a conversation with God himself. And he asked me these questions, and the first thing he asked me is the room was just filled with his Spirit. He asked me this question, which I'm sure he's asked millions of people. Crystal, do you love me? And without hesitation, I said, yes, yes, Lord, I love you. As much as I know how to love you, I love you. And then he asked me this second question. And he said, Crystal, do you love the nations? Well, I had just told you, and on Sunday I shared that a big part of my ministry journey has been calling this generation to the nations. And as my as I'd really worked to, I had lived overseas for 2 years and I had worked with the nations, but in that moment I said, I thought, oh my goodness, am I just working out of duty? Do I really love the nations? And as I thought, I just kind of answered and said, God, I don't really know if I love the nations. I think I do. I'm trying to serve the lost people of this world, but I don't know if it's out of love. And right then I felt the Lord speak to my heart, and he said, okay, Crystal, then I will love the nations through you. Wow. And then it just kind of went back to the hotel room feeling very normal. I had to go to sleep, and I just kind of questioned myself, did that just happen? What was this moment where I felt like the Lord speak to me? He's going to love the nations through me. So the next morning I woke up, I was able to go to sleep, and I thought, I wonder if I'm going to glow in the dark. I mean, what does it mean? The Lord's gonna love the nations through me. I just kind of wondered if I had a halo over me, or if when I walked out of my hotel room, this like amazing love was just gonna fill, and I was just gonna start hugging people. I didn't know what this meant. I'm gonna love the nations through you. And so I got up, and I actually just kind of felt normal. And I didn't feel any extravagant love come over me. And I just walked through my day and I thought, well, I don't feel any different. I don't see anything any different. God, what do you mean by you're gonna love the nations through me? Can I tell you, it didn't take me very long to see where the Lord was taking me in a new season of my life. And it was nothing what I expected. It was not a gushing of love. Instead, the Lord began to shine light in my heart on what I would say were some dark places that I didn't even know existed. He was bringing me to some places of repentance that honestly I didn't even know was there. Alton Garrison, a few weeks ago, when he spoke, he talked about two different kinds of sin. He talked about the sin of the flesh and the sin of the soul. The sin of the flesh is very easy to identify. The sin of the soul can often get disguised in our hearts, in the labyrinths of our souls. And the Lord began to pinpoint in me as I was going throughout my days words like pride and jealousy and coveting and even unforgiveness that I didn't even know were there. And I began to feel the heaviness of sin. And I remembered at times I would almost have to lay on the ground in this place of just asking the Lord to cleanse me and forgive me and to give me the power to repent. He began to show me. He said, Crystal, these places in your life, and can I tell you, I was a minister of the gospel, and saying that I had jealousy in my heart was embarrassing. I didn't want to admit to it, but I had to. The Lord showed me that these places that were sins of the soul were almost creating dams in my life where the love of God was finding a place of break that it could not be released fully through me. When I was a child, I remember every night before I went to bed, I'd kneel beside my bed and I would I would just lay there. I mentioned on Sunday that I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I was at church every Sunday. But I remember every night I'd kneel down and I'd say, God, please show me anything I've done wrong today so I can ask for forgiveness. And can I tell you, I was motivated by the fact that I might miss the rapture. Does any of you, like, I was like, if I don't ask for forgiveness for everything, oh, I might miss the rapture. So, I mean, I would just search my mind. Oh, okay, did I lie to my teacher? Okay, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. Help me never do that again. Okay, was I mean to my mom? Oh, Lord, please. I went through it, and I was really motivated by the rapture. And I didn't want to miss it. But for some reason, the older that I got, that motivation left me, and I found myself just living and dwelling amongst sin of the soul without confession and without repentance. Today, our series that we're going through is crying out to God. Tonight, I'm going to share just a few more minutes about crying out to God in repentance. God, I need to be wholeheartedly devoted to you. Richard Foster calls this type of prayer the examine of conscience. It's when we uncover the areas that need cleansing, purifying, and healing in our life. A theme scripture that really became my champion during this season, which, by the way, I'm still in. I wish I could say that it's completely done, but there's always, what do we have to do? Renew our mind daily, correct? Repent then, this is Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing. And can I tell you, as the Lord brought me to places that I needed to repent and confess and ask God for his power to change. Remember, repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. It encompasses turning around and changing and living different. So we can't repent of gossip and then gossip the next day, or we have to re-repent. Does that make sense? It's a turning away. And can I tell you, especially when we have created patterns of our life where sin of the soul have been allowed to reign, it is not always easy to change. And it takes the power of God, as much as it takes the power of God to heal our bodies, it takes the power of God to cleanse and purify our souls. King David says it this way, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. The really important part of this, of course, we say, search me, find those offensive ways. And if you remember the verse I just shared about repenting and then times of refreshing will come, what I begin noticing is that as the Lord began to search my heart and it began to illuminate these places that needed to be rooted out, as he began to root these areas out, can I tell you, this pattern of refreshing will come upon us as a people. And I began to feel the winds of refreshment come over my life as he began to root things out. As David shared, see if there is any offensive way and lead me into the ways everlasting. In leadership, there is this concept, it's in leadership and in so many different areas, but it's called self-awareness. And it's similar to this. It's about really kind of knowing our inner selves. But the problem with self-awareness, just acknowledging, okay, yes, I'm dealing with gossip, that's being self-aware. And that's a good step, because until we get there, we don't even know what we need to repent of. That's why we're saying, search me, O Lord. But it is important, if you see in these scriptures, search me, O Lord, that we invite the Holy Spirit into the searching process. Because self-awareness alone, without hope and power, can actually be more discouraging. Because here's what happens when I'm self-aware without inviting the Holy Spirit into this process of searching and leading me to the ways everlasting. What happens I deal with gossip. Here's the two ways we go when we get there on our own. Either self-pity, where we're like, oh man, poor me, I just can't seem to get over this. Or we go the opposite direction and think, but I'm better than a lot of people. Oh well, oh well. It leads us usually to either self-pity or pride, saying, it doesn't. But when we invite the Holy Spirit into the process, he illuminates the place. He's the one that's searching. He's the one that's illuminating. And he's the one that gives us power to change. He's the one that gives us power to change. It can be a painful inner burning, and can I tell you, it takes bravery. I want to read to you an entry in my journal from just a few years ago that kind of illuminates how the Lord took me on this journey, the power to call out to God in repentance. I'm going to just read you a journal entry from a couple of years ago. I have been led to do something that I call soul mapping. I am not an artist, but I have begun to draw pictures representing my inner life. In it, there is a beautiful tree where the fruit of the Spirit is born. But there are familiar winds that threaten the fruit and weeds that work to choke it out. It became important to me to name these threats. Threats in my life have been anxiety, fear, jealousy, pride, and self-reliance. I pay attention to name the destructive forces. I pay attention to where it is rooted and what is giving it nourishment. Then I repent in specifics. For example, Jesus, this weed of anger sprouted in my soul. It was rooted in my need to be in control, to control the story around me, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Jesus, as you give each of us free will, forgive me for trying to manipulate the people around me and to fit them in a neat, tidy box. Grow me up to full maturity in you so the branches of my life will provide shade and rest for those around me. Friends, I shared on Sunday that I do believe that God is going to send one more great awakening on this earth. And in preparation, he needs a people that have devoted their whole hearts to him, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, which leads us to loving our neighbor as ourself. I dare believe that, like myself, as I shared really quite vulnerably with you tonight, that there are others that have sins of the soul that need to be rooted out. I've spent many years at altars with young adults, and they'll often come to me, and I'll pray at an altar, or I'll pray with them on the university campus. I'll pray, and they'll come to me, and they'll say, oh, I'm just dealing with all this insecurity. And I used to kind of, oh, poor you. Insecurity is so hard. But recently, I start saying, so where does this insecurity come from? And where do you need to repent? Because when we can find that place where we are not aligned with truth, then that is where change can happen in our lives. Doesn't matter what age you are, how young you are, how old you are, we must renew our minds daily. And can I tell you, the purpose of this journey, of crying out in God for repentance, in repentance. The purpose of this is not for us to feel good, for us to be just such great people. The purpose of crying out to God in repentance is actually the Great Commission. The why to the what is because the people of this world deserve to see Christ in me. And we need to make sure that all the territory of our life and heart has been fully submitted to our great, big God. Can I tell you, this journey is incredibly brave. To say, God, get your flashlight. I want to enter the prayer of examine, as Richard Foster speaks. I invite you to shine your light deep in my heart and to unveil hidden places or places that I have not fully repented and brought change to my heart. Can I tell you, that is a very, very brave, courageous journey. As it was said to Joshua, be brave and courageous. Don't turn from the right or the left. This is a brave, courageous journey.